All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Yesh Ochel Achila Achat, person can have one consumption. V'chayvin Alea Arba Achat Ha'ot, you can be chayav for that single eating consumption, four Achat Ha'ot, V'asham Echad, and one Hashem. Tamei, a person who is Tamei, Shachal Chelev, that eats Chelev, V'yano Tar Min HaMukdashim, it was also left over from the Mukdashim, Yom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur. So he's got here a litany of issues, one of which is that he's eating Kodesh when he's Tamei, he's eating Chelev, he is eating Notar, and he's eating on Yom HaKippurim. All of those are subject to Karet. That means if they're done B'Shogeg, then you're going to be a Chatat associated with them. That's why he has four Chataot. And in addition to that, he has the Asham Echad because of the problems of Mi'ilah. He has an Hashem Mi'ilot that is added on top of that. Rabbi Meir Omer, Imaya Shabbat, Ve'otzio, if it also happened to be Shabbat and he took it out, Chayav, there's another Chatat that you could add on there for Shogeg, B'Shabbat, carrying on Shabbat B'Shogeg. Amrlo, Enu Min Hashem, not the same thing. Now Tosafot on the top of Yudalad Amud Aleph says that why did Rabbi Meir bring this in? It's true that you could add on Chatot, but you could add on Chatot in many different ways. How is this even remotely relevant? He says, "Tomar my shayach zeli in achila, ishtomar dehachi perusho b'otzio b'piv." He did otzah while he was eating, meaning that he carried it in his mouth, and the akiran hanacha happened through his placing it in his mouth, through his swallowing it. That means that it is connected to the isurim that are transpiring over here. The chachamim say that it's not the same shame because it's not because of the achila; it's otzah. Here we want to get the chataot to be associated with achila, and therefore you're right, you could have that, but that's not counted because it's a separate violation. It's not the violation of achila, it's a violation of hotza'ah. So where it says, Neima idle the Rabbi Meir, itzur chal al isur. So from this it would seem that Rabbi Meir, who is responding to the Tanakhama, but does not reject the view of the Tanakhama, but simply adds on to it, that he must believe that isur is Chal al Isur. So the problem or the issue is that we know that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold of Isur Chal al Isur, which means that if something is already Asur, then you can't create another Isur on top of it. So if you already have an Isur of Chelev or Nevela, then you can't have the other one devolve upon an Isur that already exists. This is basically stacking Isurim one on top of the next. How could it be that if Chelev was Asur, how do you add on to that? Muktashim, Notar. How do you add on all these additional items if it already was Asur beforehand? So Mar says, Nehid, Isur Chal al Isur Leitle, Eino Chanami. By Isur Chal al Isur, he thinks it doesn't work. Isur Kolel, V'Isur Mosif, V'Isur Bavat Achat, Itle. These three types of Isur Chal al Isur he does subscribe to. That is when the Isur that comes on is additive in nature. The first is Bevat Achat, and that the Shita Mikubetzet adds into the list over here, you'll see that it's necessary. Bevat Achat means simultaneously. Ein Isur Chal al Isur is when you have sequential Isurim devolving upon the item. If they happen simultaneously, there's no reason to believe one over the other should devolve upon the item. Bevat Achat, they both happen simultaneously, they'll both be effective on the item. The other two exceptions are Isur Kolel and Isur Mosif. So Isur Mosif, as Rashi says over here, that an Isur Mosif is that the Chetza, the object itself now, has more Isurim associated with it, or a higher level of Isur that is associated with it. Isur Kolel is that not any more Isurim are added to the Chetza, to the object itself, but the person himself has additional Isurim that are applicable to them. So the question is, are you talking about the subject or the object? If the object adds on additional Isurim, this particular object, that's called an Isur Mosif. If the person, the subject, vis-a-vis this object, there's nothing new, but then beyond this object, there are items that are now assured to that individual, that's called an Isur Kolel. And now the Gemara is going to go through these, and Rashi will explain that, first of all, Tahor Mi'ikara, the original animal, that's a kosher animal, when the person, Tahor, lo asur elo b'chelev, he only has an isur of chelev associated with that, that's the first isur that we're speaking about. Havalei, tamei, when the person becomes Tameh, Migo da Asur bechatichot tohorot, itosef beinami isura ilave chelev. So just like this individual now, who has new issues because he became Tameh. When he became Tameh, not only is this chelev Asur to him, but now even things that were kosher in the animal beforehand, now he can't eat them or he can't interact with them because he is now Tameh. So being Tameh adds on an additional Isur that didn't exist for him before. That's what Rashi explains over here, Mishum Tuma. Ba'ainu Kolel, that's an Isur Kolel. The lo itosef Isur El Chetza. The Chelev has nothing new in it. El Agavra, the person itosef Isur El Gabe Acharine. He now has additionally Isurim vis-a-vis other items that before were Mutar to him. Now they're Asur to him because he is Tameh. The Chelev, Mikara lo asur elav achila. Chelev is only a restriction against eating, consuming. There is no isur hana'a. Akdashe, when you're magdish the animal, migo di tosif be isura de hana'a, since you're now adding on an additional level of isur of hana'a, itosif le gabe chelev. Therefore, it's also then devolves upon the chelev itself. And that's what Rashi says over here, isur hana'a, Hainu Mosi. This is an Isur Mosi, because the Chetza now has an additional Isur associated with it. The Tosef Isura HaChetza. Now you have an additional Isur in the Chetza, which is the fact that it's not only Asur Bachila, it's now Asur Behana'a. Now with regards to here, this idea that the Isur Hana'a here is considered to be an Isur Mosi, that actually is somewhat controversial within the Rishonim. First of all, the Tosafot in Chulin makes it clear that he thinks that Isur Hana is not an Isur Mosif. Elavada Isur Hana lo choshiv Isur Mosif, elo Isur Chamur ba'alma. That it's an additional Chumrah. It's called an Isur Chamur. The Gemara in one place calls it an Isur Kolel. So Tosafot says it's clearly not an Isur Mosif. And if it is an Isur Kolel, the way the Gemara calls it, but Tosafot even rejects that and says it's not even an Isur Kolel, it's just an Isur Chamur. It's a more stringent type of Isur, as Tosafot will note later on in the daf. That's one of those factors that makes it that the Isur Chal Isur is when you have an Isur Chamor. The Rambam is Michadesh that, yes, Isur Hana creates Isur Mosif, so he clearly disagrees with the Bali Tosafot, but he says that's only true in cases aside from Basar B'Chalav. And even though Basar B'Chalav has an Isur Hana associated with it, nevertheless it cannot create an Isur Mosif. And that's based on the Rambam's finish over here, that Basar B'Chalav's restriction in Hana'ah derives from its Isur Achila, and that it's only because it's Asur Ba'Achila is it Asur Ba'Hana'a, and the Isur Hana'a is an extension of the Isur Achila. And for that reason, it's not considered to be a separate entity or separate Isur, and therefore, if you have Basar B'Chalav associated with Chelev, the Basar B'Chalav will not devolve upon the Chelev, because Basar B'Chalav's Isur Hana'a is not an Isur Mosif, because the Isur of Basar B'Chalav is really just an Isur Achila. It's an enhanced Isur Achila, it includes Hana'a, but it's not like the Isur Hana'a, like other items where there's a real Isur Hana'a. Here it's a derivative of the Isur Achila. And therefore the Rambam says, "Bachuba lekach shebasar b'chalav no asar b'hana'a, ela machmash asura katuv v'achilato." It's only because it's asur b'achila, it's asur b'hana'a. And therefore there's no Isur Mosif of basar b'chalav above nevela or above chelev, because they're all Isur Achila. And since the chelev or the nevela came before the basar b'chalav, you can't add on basar b'chalav on top of nevela or on top of chelev. Now obviously, according to the Bali Tosafot, you don't need the chiddush of the Rambam because they don't think it's an Isur Mosi. They think that Isur Hana'a is an Isur Chamor. And since it's an Isur Chamor, you don't need to have it be an Isur Mosi, and therefore you don't need this din of the Rambam, and that's what the Dogel Meravava says in Hilchot Basar b'chalav. V'akati lehejotu d'asur. That is true only the hejot, meaning that a layperson or an individual cannot consume these items. But to go on the mizbeach, it's still totally fine. This animal, it's a kosher animal, its chelev is restricted from being consumed, but its chelev can go on the mizbeach. And when you're makdishit, that dedicates those pieces to the mizbeach. So as far as the mizbeach is concerned, that is totally fine to be put on the mizbeach. Then, when it becomes notar, if it goes on beyond the time period where you're supposed to consume it, or it's now past the time when you were supposed to put it on the mizbeach, then there's an additional isur havale notar. Once you add on notar, migodos tosif isur legabe gavoa. Since here now there's an additional issue of gavoa itosif legabe hedjot. So therefore, so too does the hedjot have an additional isur now. So you have another isur mosif. Chalale yom kippurim. If Yom Kippur then comes, the day of Yom Kippur comes, migo itosif be isur legabe chulin. As far as the individual is concerned now, there are other items now that are sur for him to consume. Not just this chelev muktashim that is notar. All food items are restricted to him because it's Yom HaKippurim. Therefore, itosif gabe gevoa. Therefore, also, with regards to this muktashim, there is an additional isur now that is extended, and this, as Rashi says, is Yom HaKippurim is an isur kolel. Because the individual now has more isurim that are associated with him. What the Gemara did was now just build the case for the Mishnah, saying that even though Rabbi Meir does not hold of Isur Chalal Isur, nevertheless, Bevat Achat, and Isur Kolel, and Isur Mosif, all of these specialized type of Isur Chalal Isur, he does subscribe to. And now we just built the case for what happened in our Mishnah. You have four Chataot that you're Chayav for. The Mishnah is a case of Chelev, Hamuktashim, On Yom HaKippurim, where the individual is tamei tumat haguf. What the Gemara just explained was how each one of those items is additive in nature when the isur devolves upon the item. Chelev starts out as being asur because you have a kosher animal with chelev, you're not allowed to consume the chelev. Then, when you add on top of that aspect of the person becoming tamei, the person who's tamei is not only restricted in chelev, he's also restricted in the other items that are tohorim, but that are muktashim. That's an Isur Kolel. Means that there are more items now that are asur to him than were before. Migo, since the Isur for him now is broader, it not only includes the items that were once muturim before, it also includes the items that were once asur, including the chelev. When you're makdish, the item, the haktasha, now adds on an additional Isur, which is an Isur Hana'ah, on top of the Achilah. So just like the Hana'ah is successful at devolving upon the chelev, so too, the Isur Achilah is successful at devolving upon the Chelev. And for that reason, when you make it into Hekdesh, there's an additional Isur Achilat Muktashim that is added in this instance. Then, on top of that, you have the aspect of Notar. Once it became Notar, not only is it Asur to Hedyotot, it's also Asur LeMizbeach. Meaning it becomes disqualified completely. Before it had a possibility of ending up on Mizbeach, even though you couldn't eat it. Now with notar, it can't even end up on the Mizbeach. That's an additional Isur Mosif, whereby the object now has more Isurim associated with it. It's not just Asur to be consumed or get anah to a Hedyot. It's also now Asur to the Mizbeach. And then finally, you have Yom HaKippurim, which adds on another Isur Kolel. This individual, vis-a-vis this item, he now has an additional Isur to all food items. That additional Isur now will make it that Migo, he's Asur in the other food items. He's also Asur in this Chelev. That gives you the four chataot, which is you have a chatat for chelev, then you have a chatat for being tamei tumat haguf and eating something that's mukdashim. You have the problem of Yom HaKippurim, and you have the problem of notar. So all of those give you the four chataot that are associated with this chelev. In addition to that, you have the asham, which is the misappropriation, mi'ilah, eating something or taking something, benefiting from something that belongs to Hekdesh, that involves an Asham Mi'ilot. So that's on top of these Chataot. You also have an Asham Mi'ilah that's associated with it. Right, so now the Gemara says, Benitne Hei Chataot. Why don't you say that there could be five Chataot? We only have four in our Mishnah. Why don't you add a fifth one? Nukma Kagon, Tachal Kazayit Pigul. Make it, or addition, add to the fact that it's also Pigul. Where it says, we're dealing with one animal, not two animals. Why does that matter? Because notar vipigul b'chada behema lo mishkachata. Notar and pigul are mutually exclusive. You can either have an animal that has pigul, or you can have an animal that has notar. You can't have both pigul and notar at the same time. The reason being is that if the item was made into pigul, which means you had a machshevet chutz lizmano, in a makshava to eat it out of its time period, which is a makshava of notar, that makshava notar makes it into pigul. Once it's pigul, it was never ra'ui, technically the mizbeach, it was never ra'ui the mizbeach, then it can't turn into notar. Notar is something that's left beyond the period of time when it was ra'ui to be eaten, ra'ui to the mizbeach, then it becomes notar. But that assumes that it was ra'ui the mizbeach. If you make something into pigul, that means that it's not ra'ui the mizbeach, it's not going to turn into notar. So pigul and notar are mutually exclusive. If that's the case, in a single animal, you can't have both pigul and notar apply to it. My says, Alama lo mishkachatla. Why can't you have that? Kagon she'ala ever pigul legabe mizbeach. If you take one of the limbs of the animal that is pigul, you put it on the mizbeach. You weren't supposed to, but you did put it on the mizbeach. The paka pigule mine. Putting it on the mizbeach removes its status or state of pigul. Bahavale notar. And then it changes or will become notar when it's left beyond its period of time. Uchada amar ula. Similar to what we saw from ula in the Gemara in Zvachim. Kometz pigul. If you have a kometz that's coming from something that's pigul, she'ala legabe mizbeach, that was placed on the mizbeach, paka pigulo mimenu. Then the pigul is taken away from it. This is a concept that we saw in the Gemara in Zvachim, which is that once something ends up on the mizbeach is kolate. It captures that item, and in some senses is makshirit to remain on the mizbeach. That's based on the pasuk at the beginning of Tzav, that anything that's ole mizbeach, the mizbeach is kolate and becomes the food of the mizbeach, becomes part of the esh of the mizbeach. Similar over here, if you have something that's pigul that ends up on the mizbeach, that placement on the mizbeach in some ways removes the status of pigul in it. So now, once you've removed the status of pigul, bavale notar, then if it has left over afterwards, you can have notar. That means in a single animal, you could have pigul and notar. The aver that ended up on the mizbeach can be notar. The rest of the animal that didn't go on the mizbeach is pigul. So then even in a single animal, you can have some parts that are pigul, some parts that are notar. It says, v'aver echad kamari, v'shnei avarim lo kamari. Where it says, no, we're speaking about in a single limb. In a single limb, you can't have pigul and notar, they're mutually exclusive. Not two limbs. You're right. Before we said, it's one animal, not two animals. We meant really not one animal, but one limb. In one limb, you can't have both of those. Where it says, v'notar pigul b'chad ever lo mishkachada. Is that really true that you can't have notar and pigul devolve upon the same limb? Alama lo mishkachada. Why can't you have it? Kagon, shela aver pigul legabe mizbeach. He put in an aver pigul on the mizbeach. The palge anchei agabe mizbeach. Upalge meevrai the mizbeach. Half of it is on the mizbeach. Half of it is sticking off the mizbeach. The how the mizbeach paka pigul. The part that's on the mizbeach, the pigul is removed because it's captured by the mizbeach and it becomes the ochel of the mizbeach. Bahavale notar, and that can turn into notar. And the other half, kedamer ula, the same ula that we just quoted before, kometz pigul, shalal gam mizbeach, you have a kometz that is pigul, that was put on the mizbeach, paka pigulo mimenu, it removes the pigul from it, bahavale notar. And the part that didn't end up on the mizbeach, the part of the limb that's sticking out of the mizbeach, or that's off the mizbeach, that will remain as pigul. So now you have a single aver, part of the aver can be notar, part of the aver can be pigul. And again, now we have a fifth violation that could have been another chatat that the Mishnah could have included. I'm like, no, can't do that. Because, iruba de mizbeach, shadja de mizbeach. If the majority of the limb is on the mizbeach, then the mizbeach captures even the part that was off the mizbeach. Ruba de brai, if the majority of it is off the mizbeach, shadja de brai, then it's captured by the part of the limb that's on the outside of the mizbeach. Meaning that we go batarov. Depending where the majority of this limb is, will determine what its status is. You can't have a limb have half a status of pigul, half a status of notar. You have to look at the limb as a single entity. And now you have to determine, is the entity being captured by the mizbeach? So if the majority is on the mizbeach, it's going to pull along. Not only the part that's on the mizbeach, but even the part that's off the mizbeach will be pulled to the mizbeach. Pigul would be gone, and all you can have is notar now, no pigul. Vice versa, if the majority of it is off the mizbeach, then that's going to govern what the status of this aver is. And since the majority is off the mizbeach, it remains as pigul, and therefore can't become notar. So too, that little piece that's on the mizbeach will be drawn by that and be pigul, and not notar. So again, there you have a mutually exclusive position, which is, well, no single aver can have both pigul and notar in it, because whatever is the rove is going to dictate. So if it's Rove Pigo, then it's going to be Pigo. If it's Rove Notar, it's going to be Notar. It's not going to be both of them. Mar says, well, if that's what you concluded, Tifshot Debayi, we should be able, through this, to answer the question of whether it's Rami Bar Chama or Rava Bar Chama, Hachu Be'evarim Achara Rove. That when it comes to Evarim, do they go after the Rove? Oh, no. If that's the question that he was asking, you now just told us you have an answer. By Evarim, you do go after the Rove. Rashi claims the question is from the Gemara in Chulin of a Behema Mekasha, a mother that is giving birth to a youngster. When the part of the youngster exits, and we know that once the Rove exits, it's considered to be a Yulod, it's considered to be a birth. What happens when the threshold of a chetzi, half of the animal, is crossing through a limb, and a part of the limb is still inside, a part of the limb is on the outside? Do we say that the limb, if the robe is on the outside, the robe is on the inside, is that impactful in pulling it to say that less than half is out, or more than half is out? Even though physically it's only a half, or maybe even less than a half that's exited, because there's an aver that is both in and out of the mother, maybe the robe should dictate in that case. So Rashi claims that's the question the Gemara is referencing to, that do we go after Evarim Barobe? And there the Gemara doesn't know. You're telling me that we definitely do over here. You go after the robe, then why couldn't we answer that question over there based on what you're saying over here? Tosafot thinks that that's not the case because it says, what's that relevant to our story over here? That isn't the same issue that we're dealing with over here. So he brings Perisha Kuntris. Rashi says this, Ve'enu Nira the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that it doesn't make sense. The Mai Shaychi Ha'i Ba'i L'Hach Ta'acha. What does that question have to do with over here? Ta'ata Mayri, Im Yotza Chetzio B'Rov Eiver. There they're trying to decide whether it's a birth. Did the majority go out with the Rov Eiver? Yavi Ki Yulo Dolo. Is that considered to be a birth or not considered to be a birth? The Kach Nira L'Fereish? Da'ainu Ba'ya D'Perach Mizbeach Mekadesh. He says from a question in the Gemara in Zvachim, that over there, the Gemara wants to know, is Avir Mizbeach Ki Mizbeach? Or not, or Rubo the Kevesh, Kekevesh, the majority of the ramp, is that considered to be like the ramp itself? And then Tifsho Debayi Rami Bar Chama, Yesh Chibur Bolim, Olo. Is there a Chibur, is there an attachment? Do they consider to be one entity when something goes on the Mizbeach? And that's a very similar question to we're asking over here, is once something ends up on the Mizbeach, does it pull whatever is left off the Mizbeach? Similar to the Kevesh, to the Mizbeach, Avir Mizbeach, the Kevesh, and then the Mizbeach itself, does it pull, is there a chibur for Olim, things that go on the Mizbeach, to make them a single entity and to be pulled onto the Mizbeach? Or do we say that whatever's on the Mizbeach is there, whatever's off is off? And again, that's a similar question to here. But based on that, then we would have answered our question, because here you're definitive, that it goes but a rove. So it can't be that that's the way to explain it, because in these two locations, both by Rashi's case and the case of the Bali Tosafot, we left them as unresolved issues. Ella? Because Zayit Echad Makamayri B'Shnei Kzeitim Lo Kamayri. So we solve the problem and say, okay, it's not an issue of one Aver and not two Averim. It's one Kzeit. He's going to eat a single Kzeit. And in that single Kzeit, he's going to be in violation of all of these problems. In order to have Pigula Notar, you need a minimum of two Kzeitim. You want to need one Kzeit to be Notar, one Kzeit to be Pigul, because one single Kzeit can't be both Pigul and Notar. Below, is that really true? V'Aktani Yom HaKippurim. We said one of the violations here is Yom Kippur. Ube Yom HaKippurim kotevet hu demechayev. And Yom Kippur, the minimum shiur to be chayav is not a kezayit, not even a kebetza, it's a kotevet. It is the size of a juicy date. In order for you to be chayav, that's how much you must eat on Yom Kippur, and that's bigger than the size of a kezayit. You're telling me we're only dealing with one kezayit? It's not true. Because in order to violate Yom Kippur, you need to have more than a kezayit. You need to have a kotevet's worth. The kotevet eat beishtei zeitim. And the Gemara says that a kotevet has at least two zeitim in it. That means that we're definitely dealing with something that's a size bigger than one kezayit. Amar abzeira, kegon shachal kulya bechelba. The case here where he ate the kidney along with the fats or the chelev that's around the kidney. In that instance, the isur part of it or the chelev part of it is only one kezayit worth, that's the chelev. As far as Yom Kippur is concerned, you also have the kidney that comes along with it. And the kidney that comes along with it then makes it or adds up to the level of a kotevet that you need. So you have the kidney itself, which is not asur because of chilev, then you have the fats around the kidney, which are a din in chilev. So as far as the chilev aspect of it, there's only a kazayat worth of chilev. As far as the totality of what you're eating, the kuya then adds it up or makes it reach the point of being a kotevet to be chayav for Yom HaKippurim. So now, Rashi asks the following question. Well, if you're going to make it comprised of two parts, then why don't you say the following? Im nafshecha lomar v'chayev al kuya mishum pigo. He should be chayav on the kuya, on the kidney, because of pigo. V'achelba mishum notar. And the fats have a din of notar. Lo matze de meimar hochi. That you can't have. The tamei she'achal toni. So we're speaking about here someone who is tamei that ate it. The bechelav atzmo bailukme lukulu isure. And therefore, it can't be that the pigul is associated with the kidney, and the chelav has the isur notar, because the idea here is that the one entity that you're eating has all of these problems associated with it. And so the chelav and the kidney, if you separate out the isurim, that's not saying that in one single entity, or one single item that you're consuming, is comprised all the problems that you have here. And that is because the chelev has to have, or comprise, or have within it, all of the isurim. And by separating the pigol and the notar between the kidney and the chelev, you don't have that. Now, even though by Yom Kippur you need a bigger size, the problem of Yom Kippur exists in the chelev as well. It exists in the chelev, it exists in the kulya, they add up to the totality of what you need to be chayav. But by the case of pigol and notar, you would separate the isurim completely. One be associated with the kidney, that would be pigol, and the chelev would be associated with the notar. So since we want it all to be in the chelev itself, we can't come up with that solution. And that's why pigul was not a possibility of being added to the isurim that you're in violation of in the Mishnah. Rapapa Amar, we're going to Malya Bitamre. So Rapapa gives a similar answer, but just creates a scenario that's similar, which is that he took a date and then filled it with the chelev. Or the other way around, you took the chelev and you filled it with dates. Either way, you make up the deficit in the shiur to get to a kotevet with the dates, but the chelev itself still remains as a single kezayit. If that's the case, then within a single kezayit of the chelev, you can't have both the pigol and notar coexisting because they are mutually exclusive items. Ravada baracha matnei hei chatot. He actually had in his Mishnah 5 chatot and not 4 chatot. And he adds in exactly what the Gemara had suggested over here, that there was an additional problem of pigul. So he doesn't have all the answers that we gave as to why pigul is not included. He doesn't have those, and says he doesn't have all those answers, and his Mishnah says 5. His Mishnah included the Isur of pigul. So it wasn't limited to one kazayit. Wasn't limited to the fact that the Easter has to be on the same item. If you take those qualifications away, then the Mishnah could have 5 chatot, and that's exactly what Rav Adar Ba'acha says. There are 5 chatot in the Mishnah, and that includes the pigul that we had suggested before. Benitne sheish chatot. Now that you're opening up Pandora's box, why don't you have 6 too? Benukma ko'on da'achal kazayit dam b'hada achila. Let's add on an additional kazayit of dam in this situation. The Gemara says, "B'chad achila kamayri, b'shtei achilot lo kamayri." Pretty straightforward. We want it to be one achila to have the multiple violations. Dam includes another achila. You can't have chelev and dam in the same achila because each one of them is an independent isur. The dam doesn't have isur chelev, and the chelev doesn't have isur dam. There are separate violations, and you need 2 achilot to be in violation. And we already determined that the Beit HaBliyah, the throat, or the place where you swallow, can't contain more than 2 zeitim. And now already you need the 2 zeitim, one to be the Easter of Chelev Notar, and one to be the Easter of Pigul and Chelev. So in order to have Rav Adar Ba'acha's 5 chatot, you already maxed out because you have 2 zeitim. You need 1 kazayit of notar, 1 kazayit of pigol. He didn't limit it to 1 kazayit. So fine. You can increase the number of zeitim. So now you want to add on a kazayit of dam. That's a 3rd kazayit. You can't swallow in a single shot 3 kazayitim. You can only swallow 2 kazayitim in a single shot. That means that the maximum you're going to have over here are 5 violations. You're not going to reach a 6th violation because that requires an additional kezayit, which cannot be in or swallowed at the same time. And the Gemara's qualification is it's got to be an achila achat. It's got to be one consumption. Can't be two consumptions. And if you already hit three kezayitim, you're up to two swallowings, not one single swallow. And therefore, it will not be this single achila that generates six chatot. You can only get up to five chatot. Now Gemara says, Rabbi Meir adds on this issue of carrying on Shabbat. Gemara says, "V'nitnei imotzio chayav." Why doesn't the Mishnah just say, when you carry it out, you're going to be chayav? Rabbi Meir added two factors here. The first one was hotza'ah. The second was that it was hotza'ah on Shabbat. That implies, and that's what the Gemara says, "Maitai maktani imaita Shabbat." Why does Rabbi Meir add on the fact that it was Shabbat? And that's what creates the Isur Hotza'ah. Why doesn't he just leave it as Yom Kippur, which we already said in the Mishnah it is Yom Kippur, and have the Hotza'ah be associated with the violation of Yom Kippur? Carrying is not only restricted on Shabbat, carrying is also restricted on Yom HaKippurim. Why did he say Shabbat and not Yom Kippur? Amar Avram, Zot Omeret, Eruv votes out of Shabbat, Vein Eruv votes out of Yom HaKippurim. That shows you that. Now the way Tosfot says over here is, Perush nit arva hotza'ah im shar melachot. Hotza'ah was included with the other melachot, kamaru Shabbat. Below nit arva hotza'ah im shar melachot v'yom ha-kippurim. So on Shabbat, hotza'ah was included in the melachot that are restricted. On Yom HaKippurim, hotza'ah was not included with the other melachot. That's a conclusion you would have to come to here, that the Isur of hotza'ah only applies by Shabbat. The Isur of hotza'ah does not apply by Yom HaKippurim. That's why Rabbi Meir had to add on Shabbat and not just leave it at Yom HaKippurim. That's the way that Tosafot reads it. On the other hand, Rashi says literally that it's Eruv V'Hotza'ah. And that is that when you speak about the Isur V'Hotza'ah, so that by Yom Kippur you don't have an Isur Hotza'ah, by Shabbat you do have an Isur Hotza'ah. Now, once you have the Isur of Hotza'ah, Eruv becomes a relevant factor. If you don't have an Isur Hotza'ah, Eruv is not a relevant factor. If you have an Isur Hotza'ah, then Eruv Chatzerot becomes a relevant item because you need to create an Eruv Chatzerot in order to carry on Shabbat. So even though Eruv is a Din D'Rabbanan and Hotza'ah is a Din D'Oraita, the two are associated with each other and that's why they're grouped together. So the way Tosfot read it was that it's not Eruv in the sense of a separate issue, it's Nitarva. It was included. He says that's a description of the Malacha of Hotza'ah. Rashi says, no, it actually is Eruv and Hotza'ah. And because Eruv and Hotza'ah are connected, therefore it phrases, puts them together as a package and says, by Shabbat you have Eruv Hotza'ah, Eruv Chatzerot is relevant, Hotza'ah is restricted. By Yom HaKippurim, Hotza'ah is not restricted, therefore Eruv Chatzerot is not relevant. So that's what you would have concluded from Rav Meir's statement over here. Mimai, how do you know that's the case? Dilma Yesh Eruv Hotza'ah Yom HaKippurim. Maybe Yom Kippur also has an issue of caring and an issue of Eruv Chatzerot. V'halchik Toni, and this is what it means. Im haita Shabbat v'otzio, chayav af mishum Shabbat v'yom HaKippurim. Maybe what Rabbi Meir is saying is that just like you are chayav for caring on Yom HaKippurim, if you add in Shabbat to the fray, then you'll actually have two additional Isurim. One for carrying on Shabbat, one for carrying on Yom HaKippurim. Who says that Rabbi Meir doesn't add on not just one extra chatat, but actually an additional chatat? Because he says, "Imayash Shabbat Botzio Chayav." He doesn't say how many you're chayav. Maybe then you're up chayav for Shabbat, just like you are chayav Yom Kippurim. Ella idit deRafram. So then, what do you do with this statement of Rafram? Oh, Hadai, my was said about this. The Tanya with a brayta. Bishilach v'yadish iti. Speaking about the seira mishtaleach that it's sent out. With a person, E.T. means someone who is chosen, who has been designated for this particular job. Ish. What does it mean in Ish? Lakshir et azar. That tells you that it doesn't have to be a Kohen that does this. Even someone who's not a Kohen can do this. E.T. means someone who is designated. Afilu bituma, afilu bishabbat. Meaning E.T. means it happens, even if it's a Yom HaKippurim that's been done bituma, or even if it's on Shabbat, this still takes place. E.T. Bimizuman. Midi means someone who was already designated or determined to be the person prior to this point in time. Tani iti afilu b'Shabbat. It says here that this happens or you do this avoda even on Shabbat. What's the problem with doing this avodah on Shabbat? Here you're either carrying the Seir Mishtaleach or taking the Seir Mishtaleach chutz latchum, and if that's the case, you're in violation of hotza'ah, or you're in violation of going outside the tchum on Shabbat. And why isn't that a problem even on Yom HaKippurim? That's what Rav Avram says. Rav Avram Bam Zodomeret Eiru Otzal Shabbat Bein Eiru Otzal Yom HaKippurim. That's why it said E.T. Afilu B'Shabbat. It doesn't say E.T. B'Afilu B'Yom HaKippurim. That shows you that the violation is only a violation when it's associated with Shabbat. It's not a violation when it's associated with Yom Kippurim. It says Mimai Shiny Seir Mishtaleach Dech Sherob Yom HaKippurim Bekach. Doesn't make sense, because this is the avoda of Yom HaKippurim. If the Torah tells you this is the avoda of Yom HaKippurim, it's clear that it doesn't matter that you're violating Yom Kippur, because it's an avoda of Yom HaKippurim. So even if there is a problem of Hotzah, even if there's a problem here, even if there's a problem of Tkumim on Yom HaKippurim, that doesn't matter vis-a-vis the Seir Mishtaleach, because that's the avoda to Yom HaKippurim. So you can't prove anything from that. Shabbat? Now you need something to tell you that you have to violate Shabbat, because Shabbat is not a given when it comes to Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur is a given, is a given when you're speaking about avodah to Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, if the Torah tells you to do it, clearly wants you to do it, despite the fact that it's Yom Kippur, and maybe even despite the fact that it's Asur on Yom HaKippurim. Elor, the Rav Avram, Brutayi. Rav Avram statement over here is either a joke, it's an outside item, it's something that was said, but it's not a conclusion that we can subscribe to based on something that we know. You can't posit either from our Mishnah or that case in Yom HaKippurim that you actually have that distinction between Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, there's no proof from these items. And Rav Ram's statement is not relevant in either of these cases. The Balei HaTosafot just point out that the Gemara in Yoma has this similar Gemara. And then it doesn't get to the conclusion, like our Gemara over here. And he says, Ela derigilo to divrei Toraniim b'makomam v'ashirim b'makom acher. Sometimes the Gemara goes further, like over here, versus in Yoma, where it doesn't go further. That doesn't mean that they're mutually exclusive. It just means that sometimes the Gemara expands on an item and goes to a further conclusion. Sometimes it doesn't. But that doesn't mean that they're arguing. It just means that sometimes they did a shorthanded version of it. And here, they gave you the long-handed version of it. And so even though the Gemara in Yoma ends before we get to this conclusion is also relevant to the Gemara in Yoma. Right now we get into the Mishnayot that are extremely complicated. These Mishnayot are similar to the cases that we see early on in Yevamot. We also had similar cases in the Arayot that deal in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And now over here in Kretot, they're dealing it from the aspect of kretot, which is many of their rayot are chayav karet. That means if you do it b'shogeg, there's a chiyuv chatat that is associated with it. And now the Mishnah is going to create scenarios where you can have multiple chatot violations when you have biyah with a single woman, because that woman is asur to you through multiple facets. And so because that one woman has multiple yisurim, one biyah can result in multiple chatot. That's what the Mishnah is going to do. But in order to do that, you need to have some complex or convoluted relationships in order for that to be true. And that's what the remainder of the Mishnayot on today's daf are going to deal with, are these complex relationships. I sent out charts that help you understand this, and I think visuals are an absolute necessity over here, because without those charts, it's going to be very hard to understand what is transpiring over here. They're color-coded. They have a key to them, and make it easier for you to understand. I'm going to reference to them as I read the Mishnayot. So yesh ba biachat, someone can have one biach, v'chayv aleach v'avchatot, and then in having that interaction with this woman will result in you being chayav six chatot, which means that she has six isurim associated with her. Ketzad, how do you have this? Haba al bito, chayav aleach, someone can have a relationship with their daughter, and be chayav mishum bito, because of his being a daughter, v'achoto, and his being a sister, eshet achiv, being the wife of his brother, v'eshet achi aviv, and the wife of his uncle, v'eshet ish, a married woman, that is a nida. All six of those items could be on this individual at once. The Gemara says again, v'ha late late de Rabbi Meir, isur chalal isur. Once again, don't we say that Rabbi Meir believes that Ein Yisur Chalal Yisur? And if that's the case, why is it over here that we would have Rab Chatot over here? Mar says, Nehidi Yisur Chalal Yisur Leilei. Yes, he doesn't have Yisur Chalal Yisur. Aval Yisur Mosif. V'Yisur Bebat Achat. V'Yisur Kolel Itlei. He does have it when it has these additional factors associated with it. A plain Yisur can't be Chal Al Yisur. But if there's an Yisur Mosif, an Yisur Kolel, or Yisur Bebat Achat, and Tosafot over here adds on an additional factor, which is Yisur Chamur. If it's an Yisur that's more Chamur than an Yisur Kal, there also he'll have Yisur Kal Al Yisur. Kagon. And now here we go. Shaba Al Imo. Rolid Bat. Here is the scenario. The individual had a relationship with their mother, and through their mother they produced an offspring, which is both their sister and their daughter. Their sister, because they share a common mother. It is his daughter, because he had a relationship with his mother that produced that daughter. So here you can see that you have Yaakov and Leah have a son named Reuven. Reuven then sleeps with his mother and produces Dinah, a daughter between them. That daughter, Dinah, now is Reuven's daughter, because it was produced from him and his mother. But it's also Reuven's sister, because Reuven and Dinah share a common mother, Leah. So that's the first two Isurim. And those Isurim devolve because they happen behadei hadodi. They happen bebat achat. So even though you have two Isurim over here, it's not a problem of Isur Chalal Isur. Everything here has to be bishogeg, otherwise you're dealing with karet and not chatot. So if you're dealing with chatot, we're dealing that this happened bishogeg. The truth is that this aspect of it does not have to be bishogeg, because here he's just creating the woman who's going to be the problematic woman. So here, if it was done by Mezid, that's not the problem. The problem is later on, when he sleeps with this woman that has these multiple Yisurim, that has to be done by Shogeg in order for the Chatot to happen. So this aspect of it could have been by Mezid. Nevertheless, we have here now a production that has Yisur Bito, Vachoto, Bahadei Adodayati. They happen simultaneously. Niseit Leachiv. Now, she marries a brother of Reuven. So Yaakov and Leah had this son, Reuven, who has caused this problem. But Yaakov is also married to Rachel. And Rachel also has sons, Levi and Shimon. Levi and Shimon are brothers to Reuven through their common father, Yaakov. So now, this Dinah, this daughter, marries one of these two brothers. So when she marries these brothers, you've now added on an additional Isur of Eshet Achiv, your brother's wife. Migo di Tosif Isur legabe Achin, itosif Isur legabe Didei. Now over here, this Isur is not just related to him. Reuven is not the only one now who's Asur and Dinah. Here, if Shimon marries Dinah, Levi, another brother, also now has new Isurim that are included. These are additional people that are now Asur over here, because of the fact that they are brothers to Shimon. So not only does the Eshet Achiv apply to Reuven, Eshet Achiv also applies to Levi. The fact that this woman now became Asur to more people, not just to her brother-in-law Reuven, but she also now is Asur to her brother-in-law Levi. And so since she's also Asur to Levi, Migo, that there's an additional Isur with this woman associated with Levi, we also add on the Isur of Eshet Achiv to Reuven. So that's how now we get an additional violation. And that's what the Gemara says here. Migo itosif Isur legabe Achin, since Isur now applies to all brothers, itosif Isur legabe Didei. Therefore for him also, Eshet Achiv is going to be added, even though she was already Asur to him because she was his daughter and his sister. Now there's an additional Isur of Eshet Achiv. Niseit lechi Aviv. Shimon passes away, and this woman, Dinah, is now free to marry an additional individual. She goes ahead and marries Reuven's uncle. Reuven is the product of Yaakov and Leah. Yaakov has brothers, Esav, Lavan. He has other brothers. She, this woman, Dinah, marries Esav, one of Yaakov's brothers. That means that that's Reuven's uncle. Reuven's uncle is now married to Dinah. As far as the uncle is concerned, Dinah is not a woman that is restricted to him. And therefore, he now marries this woman, Dinah. But that means that She is now his aunt. And you are restricted Eshet Achi Aviv, an aunt. Now, Migo Ditosev Isur Legabe Sharache Aviv, now that the Isur, for when Esav marries it, not only applies to Reuven himself, the Isur applies to all the other brothers of the father, are also restricted, meaning that Lavan, who's also another brother over here, he's restricted in Dina because of Esav, his brother, married her. There are a number of versions of this. You can see it in the Shita Mekubetzet Od Gimel as to what the additional Isur is. Either the additional Isur is that for Reuven's brothers, now there's an additional restriction of uncle or aunt, or it's because of Yaakov's brothers, meaning that anybody besides Esav, there's an additional Isur that's created over here. All these restrictions mean that there's an additional restriction vis-a-vis this woman. Therefore, itosef legabe didei. Therefore, for him too, there's an additional Isur over here of Eshet Achi Aviv. Because this woman now extended the number of Isurim that are associated with her. Before, she was mutar to marry all of the brothers of Yaakov. Now that she married Esav, she can't marry any of the other brothers of Yaakov. So now there's a new Isur that's introduced to this woman. The fact that there's a new Isur that makes new people a Surim to her, so too, Reuven is now also restricted to her. Havalei, Eshedish. But now, when she's married to his uncle, she's also an Eshedish. She's a woman that's married. And that happens simultaneously. The Eshet Ish and the Eshet Achi Aviv happen simultaneously. And Migo di Itosif, Isur legabe Alma, Itosif nami legabe didei. And that Isur of Eshet Ish makes her a sur not only to the brothers, but also to anybody in the world. In addition to that, Avalei Nida, she was also a Nida. And when she's a Nida, not only is she now usur to everybody else in the world, she now usur to her husband. So Migo Itosif Isur Legabe Bala, Itosif Nami Legabe Didei. Therefore the Isur now is also affecting him. So in this situation, this woman Dina has all of these different statuses vis-a-vis Reuven. She is his daughter. She is also his sister. She also was his brother's wife. She is now currently his uncle's wife. And she is a married woman. And she is a Nida. That way, in a single Biyah that Reuven has with Dina, he'll be in violation of all of these issues. Be in violation of daughter, sister, sister-in-law, aunt, married woman, Nida. Six violations. And therefore you have six Chataot that come from this single Biyah with Dina. Tosafot over here asks, how is the scenario that we just created possible? Because Dina is a Mamzeret. If Dina is a Mamzeret, how is she marrying Reuven's brother, who is a regular Yisrael? There's an Isur to marry a Mamzeret. If there's already an Isur of Mamzeret, how can you add on top of that Eshet Achiv if there's an Isur that already exists? So Tosafot gives two answers to that question. Either his brother was a Mamzer, his brother's also a Mamzer, then a Mamzer can marry a Mamzeret, and there's no problem. Or maybe even if he's not a Mamzer, if he marries her, that's an Isur Kal. Eshet Achiv is an Isur Chamur. And that's where Tosafot added this factor that Isur Chamur can devolve upon an Isur Kal, even according to Rabbi Meir, who says, Isur Kal Isur, that's only when they're the same level Isur. Isur of Eshet Achiv is an Isur Karet. The Isur of Mamzerut is an Isur Lav. So that's why you can still add on that aspect, even though she is an Mamzeret. Right, next Mishnah. Haba Albat Bito. Someone who has a relationship with their granddaughter. Chayav Aleha Mishum Bat Bito. You can be then in violation over here of Bat Bito, granddaughter. Kalato, daughter-in-law. Eshet Achiv, sister-in-law. Eshet Achi Aviv, aunt. Vachot Ishto is in parentheses over here because Tosafot does not include it. Rashi does include it. The reason is because if you include it, you get the seven chatot. If you don't include it, you get the six chatot. Tosafot's premise is that these mishnayot are all following the header that we saw before, which is, you can be chayav six chatot. And therefore, achot ishto is not included. Rashi does include it, and therefore you have yesh barbiyah achat v'chayav le zayin chatot. You actually have zemen chatot in this case. Veishin ish is a married woman and an ida. That makes it that you have now seven violations or six violations, depends if you include achot ishto. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ima bar zakein. If the elder one was in violation, and married her, chayav aleha mishum eshet av. You can add on an additional violation of eshet av, your father's wife. V'chein abal bat ishto. Similarly, you'll have a similar scenario when you have a relationship with a daughter of your wife, v'al bat bita, or the granddaughter of your wife. So now we have to go through, of course, all of these scenarios and to figure out exactly how you have one woman that has all of these associated with her. So again, here it's much more complex. Habal bat bito. Here is a scenario where Yaakov is married to Rachel and Yaakov now has children with Rachel, Shimon, Reuven, Dina. So those are all in his. Yaakov is also married to Leah. He has a second wife. And in being married to Leah, he has a father-in-law named Lavan. Lavan, who is Yaakov's father-in-law, married his daughter Dina from his other wife. Between them, they produce a daughter named Serach. That daughter Serach is Yaakov's granddaughter. That's because it's his product of his father-in-law and his daughter. The father-in-law and his daughter produce Serach, who, because it's his daughter, produces a grandchild. Now, the father-in-law is allowed to be married to this Dina because he's a father-in-law from another wife. So even though Yaakov has children through Rachel, Yaakov is married to Leah. His father-in-law from Leah's side is not related to anything from Rachel's side. Therefore, the children produced by Yaakov and Rachel over here, Lavan can't marry them. They're totally mutar. It's a valid marriage. So Lavan, who marries Dina, now produces Serach, who is Yaakov's granddaughter. Yaakov sleeps with Serach. So now that's sleeping with the Bat Bito. So that's the Isur of Bat Bito. It happens to be that she is also Achot Ishto. She's also his wife's sister. Since Lavan is the father of Leah, Lavan's also the father of Serach. That means that Leah and Serach are sisters. So they are both sisters and his granddaughter, and that all happened simultaneously. That's because when Lavan married Dina, his daughter, and produced Serach, Serach instantly was both his granddaughter and his wife's sister. So those are two of the violations that we mentioned already, which are granddaughter and wife's sister. Then Serach marries her uncle Reuven because her sister Dina is the mother of Serach. So she marries her uncle, which is a legal relationship for a niece to marry an uncle. The Gemara in a number of places actually says that that's a good type of marriage. That's something that we actually promote. She marries Reuven. Now Serach becomes the Kalato Shel Yaakov. She becomes his daughter-in-law, the wife of his son Reuven. Here, there are additionally Serim because Reuven, when he marries Serach, makes her a sort of Shimon, his brother, because she's now Eshet Achiv. Now Shimon, so Migo, Di Tosef, the Isur for Achei Reuven, for Shimon, so too the Isur for Yaakov of being a daughter-in-law is added. So now she has the aspect of being Kalato, also being his daughter-in-law. Then we move on to the next scenario, which is Reuven passes away. When Reuven passes away, Serach then marries her great uncle, one of Yaakov's brothers. But it's one of Yaakov's brothers where they share a common mother, not where they share a common father. So he has a brother, Esav, where they share a common mother. That brother then marries this Serach. Well, that makes her into Eshet Achiv. And that now adds on an additional Isur, because when Esav marries her, she is now restricted not only to this Yaakov, but she's now restricted to all of Esav's brothers because of Eshet Achiv. Since she's now restricted to the brothers of Yaakov, so too she's going to be restricted to Yaakov because of Eshet Achiv, because of him being his sister-in-law. So now that she married one of Yaakov's brothers, she added on the Isur of sister-in-law. Now, Yaakov's brother passes away, and she goes ahead and marries one of Yaakov's father's brothers, one of his uncles. When she marries one of his uncles, Migo, that she now becomes restricted to all of his uncles, she also becomes restricted to him because she is his aunt. Now you added on Eshet Achi Aviv. So now, when he sleeps with this woman, she has all of these Yisurim associated with her. She is, first of all, his granddaughter. She is also his wife's sister. She is his daughter-in-law. She is also his brother's wife. She is also his aunt. She is now an Esh and Ish, a married woman. And she was Pirsa Nida, and she became a Nida. Esh and Ish made her Asur to the whole world, so they had her own additional Yisurim. Nida made her Asur to Baala, and therefore all of these Yisurim are included. So again, if you include Achot Ishto, then you have 7. If you don't include Achot Ishto, then you have 6 violations when Yaakov sleeps with his granddaughter, Sarah. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi adds on an additional factor here, which is, Imavar Zakein, Venasa. If the Zakein did something wrong and married this Sarah, then you're Chayav Alev Yishum Eshet Av. Then you can add on an additional restriction of Eshet Av, which is the fact that Yaakov's father, Yitzchak, is now married to Sarah, which he wasn't supposed to do. It was a problematic relationship, but despite it being a problematic relationship, he still married her. And in marrying her, he adds on the additional factor of Eshet Av. And again, you can see this in the pictures. I draw you the diagrams. You can follow the diagrams. Again, there's a key there to the diagrams. Arrows mean a child of. The rectangles mean a zachar. Rectangles with rounded edges are in a keva. Double lines mean that they are married. A dotted line means that they had a relationship of bi'ah. And an item with an X through it means that the person passed away. So that gives you the key to what we're saying here. Before we go on to Rav Yossi's position over here, we're going to read in the Gemara what seems to be a problem. Tanei chayav alei mishum eshet av. Here we say that he's also chayav for eshet av when Yaakov's father married Yaakov's granddaughter, Sarah. Misharyalei. Since when can he do that? How is Yitzchak allowed to marry Sarah? I'm Rav Yochanan. The case where he had her from Yibum. Now Yitzchak, who is this father of Yaakov, his brother married Sarah. When his brother married Sarah, she is now Eshet Achiv to Yitzchak. And she's Eshet Achiv to Yitzchak, he can't marry her. So how are you telling me that Imavar v'nasa, if he violated something and married her, well, how can he marry her? The Kedushin are not Tofsin over here because it's an Isur Karet. Yisur Karet, Kedushim are Tovsin. Kedushim are Tovsin, it doesn't matter that he married her, quote unquote. There was no marriage halachically. That's the case. There's no Yisur of Eshet Av. So how do you have a case of Eshet Av? The answer is that Yitzchak's brother, Yishmael, that married Sarah, passed away without children. When he passed away without children, she now falls to him to be a Yivama. And he was Miyabemar. And even though we said before that this Sarah married one of the brothers of Yaakov, that would mean that she's actually a daughter-in-law of Yitzchak, not just a wife of his brother. If that's the case, then he couldn't be married to her because she's his daughter-in-law. So Rashi says that's not a question because the brother of Yaakov that she married was a brother through their common mother, was not a brother through the common father. And given that, the father Yitzchak has no relationship whatsoever to the brother of Yaakov that married Sarah in the first place. And so, you can see in the diagrams, that's why we made it, that Esav, Yaakov's brother that married Sarah, had a common mother, Rivka, but did not share a common father, because the father of Yaakov was Yitzchak, and Esav's father was Nevayot or someone else, who married Rivka, had these children, he passed away, and then subsequent to that, Rivka married Yitzchak and had Yaakov. So because of that, there is no problem of daughter-in-law. There's only a problem of Eshet Achiv. It says, Yochi Mayavar. Didn't the Mishnah say that the great-grandfather, the Zakein, violated something? And in that violation, he now creates an additional Yisur Eshet Av. If he's doing Yibum, Yibum's not a violation. Yibum's what he's supposed to be doing. So what did he do wrong when he married Sarah? That's what he was supposed to do. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Shavar Mishum Kalat Bino Shnia. He's in violation of an Iser Dirabanan. And that is because she is his son's daughter-in-law. Yitzchak has a son, Yaakov. Yaakov's daughter-in-law, as we already saw before, is Sarah. It's his granddaughter as well, but it always happens to be his daughter-in-law, because she married Reuven, his son. So that means that she is his daughter-in-law, and Yitzchak is Yaakov's father. So that's what we call an arayot of once removed. right once we rule, the Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks about what are called Shniot Arayot Midrabanan. These are Arayot that are one derivative away. They are Asur Midrabanan. That's exactly what you have here. You have Yitzchak, who is the father of Yaakov, and Yaakov is restricted in Serach because she is his daughter-in-law. So as far as the Torah is concerned, Yitzchak has no Isur vis-a-vis Serach. But Midrabanan, we say that Yitzchak can't marry Serach because it's his son's daughter-in-law. And that's the Avar over here. He's performing Yibum, despite the fact that there's an Isur Derabanan of Kalat Beno, his son's daughter-in-law. Or it's basically a granddaughter-in-law. A granddaughter-in-law is a restriction Midrabanan. So technically, he shouldn't have married her. He shouldn't have performed Yibum. But if he does perform Yibum, the Ifdushin or Tovsim, because it's only an Isur Derabanan, it's not an Isur Doraita. That's what the Gemara says over here, Kedetanya. Kalato Erva. Your daughter-in-law is an Erva min HaTorah. Kalat Bino, the daughter-in-law of your son, Shnia. So your granddaughter-in-law is only a Isur Midrabanan. V'chein ata motzei bebat Bino, ubat ben Bino. Kat sov kol adorot. And similarly, you can find the same thing with regards to Kalat Ben Beno. Kalat Ben Beno. At Sof Kol HaDorot. Until the end of the generation. I mean, they're all different scenarios. You can see in the Shita Mekubet, they're all the different Girsot that you have over here. But basically, these are all Shniot V'Harayot. And what they're saying is that the violation of the grandfather in marrying this woman was an Isur Derabanan. And that Isur Derabanan, in this case, happens to be his son's daughter-in-law, but you can even create scenarios where it's true by great-grandchildren also, whereby the Isur is only an Isur of Shnei Arayot and not a Isur of Arayot. Well, me, Itlay, the Rabbi Yossi, Isur Kalal Isur. Since when does Rabbi Yossi have Isur Kalal Isur, which is a key component of all of these violations over here, is that Isur Kalal Isur, and his mention in the Mishnah is clearly accepting the idea of Isur Kalal Isur. Batznan, we have a Mishnah in Sanhedrin that says, Avara Veira, Sheish Ba Shtei Mitot. If a person violates an Avera that is subject to two death penalties, Yidon Bechamura, you get the more severe or stringent of the punishment. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nidon Bezika Rishona Shebalav. You determine which is the first violation that he came upon, and that violation or that Isur is the one that you get punished for. Betanya, Ketzad. How does that work out? Amar Rabbi Yossi, Nidon Zika Rishona. What is the case where you deal with this, where Zika Rishona is different than the Chamura? It's a case where Chamuto, if he had a mother-in-law, Benaseit Eshedish, and then she gets married. His mother-in-law was widowed. She was a single woman, now who's restricted in him because she is his mother-in-law. Then she gets married. So now getting married adds on an additional Isur of Eshet Ish. So now Eshet Ish is subject to the punishment of Chenek. A Chamuto, his mother-in-law's punishment of Sreifa. So if I had to choose between Sreifa and Chenek, the more Chamur is Sreifa. So the Chachamim, or the Tanakama, says that you get Sreifa. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says you get Zika Rishona. So in this case, Nidom Mishum Chamuto. You get punished because of Chamuto, because she was first his mother-in-law, and only subsequently was she a married woman. So if I have to choose between Sreifa and Chenek, where are you going to get Sreifa? Because Chamuto was the first Isur that came. Eshidish, Benaseit Chamuto. If she was married, and then became his mother-in-law, because she was already married, and then he marries her daughter, she now was already a sort to him because she was a married woman. But in addition to that, now not only is she a married woman, she's now his mother-in-law. Then Nidon Mishum Eshedish. In that case, you get punished for Eshedish, because Eshedish was the first Isur that existed. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Mode Rabbi Yossi be Isur Mosif. Rabbi Yossi agrees when there's an Isur Mosif, that creates a Isur Chal Al Isur. And Rashi over here says that not only does he agree by Isur Mosif, he also agrees by Isur Kolel and by Bebat Achat. Tosafot disagrees and says that Rav Yossi only adds on Isur Mosif. He does not agree by Isur Kolel. So almost everybody agrees by Bebat Achat that they have Isur Chalal Isur. He says that Rav Yossi, like Rabbi Meir, has Isur Chalal Isur by Isur Mosif. Rashi says that even more, not only by Isur Mosif, by Isur Kolel. Tosafot says that's not the case. Just because he holds of Isur Mosif, which is a stronger form of Isur, doesn't mean that by Yisur Kolel he agrees. And therefore, even though Rabbi Meir agrees by Yisur Kolel, Mosif, and Bat Achat, over here, Rabbi Yossi only agrees by Yisur Mosif and Yisur Bavat Achat. V'chein, Tiyata Rav in Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And when Rav, he says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Moder Rabbi Yossi by Yisur Mosif. And even though we said Rabbi Yossi agrees by Yisur Mosif, and over here it's Yisur Mosif because Eshet Ish is a Yisur Mosif on top of Chamuto. Nevertheless, it doesn't make a difference over here. Because Rabbi Yossi agrees with the Chamin's basic premise, when you have two Yisurim, you go with the Chamur. So over here, even though Eshet Ish is an Yisur Mosif, so now you have Eshet Ish and Chamuto, Chamuto is B'Sreifa, and Eshet Ish is B'Chenek, so you're going to get Sreifa anyway. So the Yisur Mosif has no impact over here, because the Yisur Mosif adds Eshet Ish, which is a lower form of punishment, and that's why it's not impactful over here. My Yisur Mosif Ika, Hecha, what is the Yisur Mosif that you have over here? The Ika Bra V'Sabo. Because you have the son to the grandfather. Migo di itosiv isura the gabe berei, itosiv isura the gabe di day. So since there's an impact on his son, there's also an impact on him himself. So that's what our Mishnah is a case of Yisur Mosif, that when the grandfather Yitzchak went ahead and married Serach, so according to Rashi here, this Yitzchak that married Serach, he has an additional children besides Yaakov. Those additional children besides Yaakov now have an Isur of Eshet Av. They were not restricted before to this woman. The fact that they now have a restriction of Eshet Av, so that additional restriction of Eshet Av now also then impacts Yaakov. Even though Yaakov was already restricted in this woman, nevertheless, there's now an additional restriction that is added on because Yitzchak, through a different wife than the mother of Yaakov, has additional children, and those additional children now have a restriction of Eshet Av. That Eshet Av that adds on that restriction makes it that it's an Yisur Mosif, also the Gabe Yaakov of Eshet Av. The problem with that explanation that Yitzchak had an additional child to another wife, and that's where the problem is, because he has Eshet Av associated with him, therefore it's just like he has Eshet Av, so too Yaakov now has an Eshet Av Yisur added, is that additional child that is born to Yitzchak already had the same problem that Yaakov had, which was that she was Eshet Achei Aviv. She was already his aunt. And he has that same problem. She was already his aunt. She's already his aunt. How do you add on Eshet Av then? Where is the Eshet Av extending anything? Therefore, the Ri and the Rambam similarly add on the Isur through the Zakein, not referring to Yaakov's father Yitzchak, Abraham. There are additional children to Yitzchak's father, Abraham. And those additional children, when Yitzchak marries this woman, become Eshet Achiv. Because the other brothers were his brothers through their father. Maybe over there it's his brothers through another venue, through a common mother. Or his brothers through the father, who were also now available to perform Yibum. Once he performed Yibum, those brothers now become Asur and this woman when he marries this woman. And so just like this woman marrying Yitzchak creates additionally Yisurim for his brothers, so too then it adds on Eshet Av to Yaakov. And as we noted before, that Yisur Mosif doesn't have to be that they have the same Yisur. It just has to be that this woman adds on additionally Yisurim, even if they're a different form of Yisur, as long as it's the same nature of Yisur, then that Yisur can also then cause the Yisur of Eshet Av to evolve upon Yaakov. Now, the one thing we didn't do yet is in the tail end of the Mishnah, it says, V'chein abal bat ishto, v'al bat bita, which the Mishnah says, the same scenarios play out in those cases as well. So we have to also go through those cases to show that there are multiple violations over there. And that is, bat ishto is a case where Yitzchak married Rivka, and they have children, Yaxshan, Esav, Yaakov. They have all these children. Yitzchak also happened to have an extramarital affair with this woman, Leah. And after he had that extramarital affair with this woman, Leah, they produced a child out of wedlock called Rachel. Now, after all this, Yaakov marries Leah, who was his father's extramarital affair with this woman. His father was never married to her, so it doesn't have any restriction of Eshet Av. And he can marry this woman, Leah. This woman, Rachel, vis-a-vis Yaakov, is bat ishto, is the daughter of his wife, because Rachel was produced out of an extramarital affair what Leah had with his father, and now he's married to Leah. Leah was the mother of Rachel. So Yaakov, Rachel to him is Bat Ishto. So first of all, she is Bat Ishto. She is also Achoto Me'aviv. She's also his sister through their common father. Yitzchak is both the father of Yaakov, as well as the father of Rachel. And since she's the father of both of them, she is both his sister and Bat Ishto, the daughter of his wife. In addition, Rachel, the product of that illicit relationship, married his brother Esav, who is his brother through a common mother from a different father. When she marries his brother, you add on Eshet Achiv, and that's an Isur Mosif, because the other brothers are restricted in this woman. And so too, Yaakov adds on that additional factor of Eshet Achiv. Then his brother passes away, and Rachel marries one of Yaakov's uncles. And in marrying one of his uncles, you add on now an Isur of Eshet Achi Aviv. At the same time, she becomes an Eshet Ish, as well as the same time that she is a Nida. So that adds on all of these additional relationships. In that case, you now have, again, six violations, which is that Rachel is his stepdaughter, daughter of his wife. She is his sister. She is his brother's wife, his sister-in-law. She is his aunt. She is also a married woman. And she is a Nida. So in that case, you have six violations, and that's what it says in the Mishnah of Achein, by Bat Ishto. And then similarly, Chein Abal al Bat Bat Ishto. A similar scenario where it happens that he sleeps with his wife's granddaughter. And that again, here the case is where you have Yaakov, who marries Rachel, and has children from her, Shimon and Reuven. He also marries Leah. Leah had been previously married. And previously married, she had had a daughter, Dinah. Now, that previous daughter, Dinah, had had a out-of-wedlock relationship with Lavan, Leah's father. And through that, they produced a daughter, Serach. So when Yaakov marries Leah, as far as his relationship to Serach, Serach is first of all his wife's granddaughter. She is his step-granddaughter. She also happens to be his wife's sister. And that's because they share a common father, Lavan. So those happen simultaneously. When Serach was born, she was both Leah's granddaughter as well as Leah's sister. So therefore, there's a restriction on Yaakov of both step-granddaughter as well as a restriction of being your wife's sister. This Serach then marries one of Yaakov's children from a different wife. When he marries those children, she becomes his daughter-in-law. Now, the daughter-in-law is added on because when one of his children marries this Serach, they add on Yisurim to all their brothers. She becomes Eshet Achiv to all of these brothers. Therefore, also for him, there's an additional Yisur of Kalato that is added on. That son passes away. And then she marries this Serach, one of Yaakov's brothers. So she now becomes Eshet Achiv. And now when she's Eshet Achiv, you've added on an additional Isur of sister-in-law. And for that reason, this Serach has six violations associated with her. She is, first of all, the granddaughter of his wife, step-granddaughter, also his wife's sister. She is his daughter-in-law. She's also his sister-in-law. She's also a married woman, and she's also a Nida. So once again, there you have six violations. Right now we move on to the last Mishnah, which is Haba al Chamuto. Someone who sleeps with his mother-in-law, Chayav Aleha Mishum. She could be in violation of Chamuto, his mother-in-law, Kalato, his daughter-in-law, Eshet Achiv, his brother's wife, Eshet Achi Aviv, his aunt, Vachot Ishto, his wife's sister, Ve'eshet Ish, and a married woman, V'nida, and Nida, which would give you seven violations. Once again, over here, the Tosafot takes out Achot Ishto, so it's only six violations. Mishnah says, V'chein haba al Eim Chamiv, al Eim Chamoto. Similarly, if he sleeps with a woman that is his father-in-law's mother, or his mother-in-law's mother. So we'll have to go through all those scenarios again and play them out. Biochen Menuri Omer, Abal Chamuto, Chayev Aleha Mishum Chamuto, Beim chamoto beim chamid. There could be a scenario where a person sleeps with his mother-in-law and is in violation of all of these three violations at once. Mother-in-law, mother of mother-in-law, and mother of father-in-law. Amrulo, the chachamim say back to him, shloshtam shem echadim. They all derive from the same isur, and since they derive from the same isur, they are not multiple violations. There's only one violation over here. All right, so now let's go through the scenarios over here to explain about chamuto, how you're in violation of either six or seven violations over here. The case here where the individual Yaakov is married to Rachel. Rachel's a product of Lavan sleeping with his daughter Leah. So Lavan slept with his daughter Leah and produced Rachel. So when Yaakov marries Rachel, his relationship to Leah is, first of all, his mother-in-law. She's the mother of Rachel. But she also happens to be Rachel's sister because they share a common father. Then this Leah goes ahead and marries one of Yaakov's children from a different wife. So now she becomes his kalato, his daughter-in-law. She's restricted to the remainder of Yaakov's children because of Eshet Achim, and because there's an Isur Mosif, we add on kalato for him. Then Reuven passes away and Leah marries one of Yaakov's brothers. So now you add on Eshet Achim. She becomes his sister-in-law. Then that brother of Yaakov passes away and Leah marries one of Yaakov's uncles. That makes it into Eshet Achi Aviv, makes him into an aunt. Therefore, when he sleeps with her, he's in violation of all of these items. Number one, she's his mother-in-law. She's the mother of his wife. She's also the sister of his wife because of the fact that they share a common father. That's two. She is also his daughter-in-law because she was married to one of his sons from a different wife. She is also his sister-in-law because she married one of his brothers. She's also his aunt because she married one of his uncles. She's also a married woman now, an Eshet Ish, and she's also a Nida. And all of those, again, are Isur Mosif. And because of that, you now have seven violations by one woman, and that's what is Habal al Chamuto, can be in violation of all of these items. Similarly, Habal Eim Chamuto, someone who sleeps with the mother of his mother-in-law, it's the same scenario, just the wife, the woman that he married, Rachel, was produced out of an illicit relationship between his wife's father and his father-in-law's granddaughter, which is Lavan has a daughter, Leah, and then Leah has a daughter, Dinah. Lavan sleeps with his granddaughter, Dinah, and produces a daughter, Rachel. That's the woman that Yaakov is married to. Now, as far as Leah is concerned for Yaakov, Leah is his wife's mother of mother-in-law, because Rachel's mother is Dinah, and Leah is Dinah's mother. So, as far as Yaakov is concerned, Leah is his mother-in-law's mother. That's one thing. And she happens to be the sister of his wife, because they share a common father. Lavan is the father of Leah. Lavan is also the father of Rachel. And then the remainder of the scenario is the same, whereby this Leah then marries one of Yaakov's children from another marriage. That makes him into daughter-in-law. Then he passes away, and she marries one of Yaakov's brothers. Makes him into a sister-in-law. Then he passes away, and she marries one of Yaakov's uncles. Makes him into an aunt. She's also an Eshet Ish. She's also a Nida. And in that way, all of these, again, are Isur Mosif. The Isur Mosif makes it that you'll be in violation if he's Ba Al-Eim Chamoto, that he'll be in violation of Eim Chamoto, Achot Ishto, Kalato, Eshet Achiv, Eshet Achi Aviv, Eshet Ish, and Nida. And similarly, Aba Al-Eim Chamiv is a similar scenario by which you have Dinah has a daughter, Leah, who's going to be the problematic woman over here. Leah has a son, Lavan. Lavan now sleeps with his grandmother, Dinah, and produces Rachel, who is now the wife of Yaakov. So that creates a situation in which Leah, vis-a-vis Rachel, Leah is, first of all, the mother of his father-in-law, because Lavan is his father-in-law. Lavan is Rachel's father, and Leah is Lavan's mother. So that says the mother of his father-in-law. But it also happens to be that Rachel and Leah are sisters, because they share a common mother, Dinah. So it's both Achot Ishto and Eim Chamiv. It's the mother of his father-in-law. And then the remainder of the scenario is all the same as we saw before, which is that Leah marries one of his sons from another wife, makes her into a daughter-in-law. He passes away, marries Yaakov's brother, makes her into a sister-in-law. He passes away, she marries one of Yaakov's uncles, makes her into an aunt. And therefore, you're going to be in violation again here of seven things, which is one is that she is the mother of his father-in-law. She's also his wife's sister. She's also his daughter-in-law. She's also his sister-in-law. She's also his aunt. And she is a married woman and an Ida. And again, in each of these scenarios, when she marries one of these individuals, there are additional Isurim added on. In the case of his daughter-in-law, she's now restricted to all of his other sons. So that's an Isur Mosi. When she marries his brother, she now is usher to all of his brothers as well. So that's an Isur Mosi. When she marries his uncle, she's now usher to all of his other uncles because of Eshed Achiv. So those are all Isur Mosi. When she becomes an Eshed Ish, she's restricted to everyone in the world. And when she becomes an Idah, she's also restricted to her husband. So those are all Isur Mosi. And that way you get seven violations. Now Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's case over here is Habal Chamotovim, Chamotovim Chamiv, is a scenario in which the person that we're focused on over here is Milcah. Nachor marries Milcah and has three children, Lavan, Chava, and Rivka. Lavan has a daughter, Rachel, and Chava has a daughter, Leah. Rivka marries Yitzchak. Now, Yitzchak marries both of his nieces. So Yitzchak is now married to Rivka, but he's also now married to his wife's niece, both through her brother and both through her sister. So in that case, he has three wives. If he then sleeps with his mother-in-law, Milcah, he has a relationship to her through multiple venues. He's married to Rivka, so she is his mother-in-law. He's also married to his niece, but his niece through Rivka's sister. That means that Milcah is also the mother of his mother-in-law, because Chava, Rivka's sister, is his mother-in-law, and then her mother, Milcah, is the mother of the mother-in-law. So too, with his relationship with his niece that he married through his wife's brother over there, Milcah is his brother-in-law's mother, but also his father-in-law's mother. So in that case, he's in violation of Chamoto when he sleeps with Milcah. Aim Chamoto, the mother of his mother-in-law, and the mother of his father-in-law. Those are all three different violations. But the way that the Chachamim respond to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is, that's all one violation, because it stems, as Rashi says over here, it all stems from B'chad Krok Tive, they're all within in one pasuk, or B'chad Lav, and it's one restriction. Therefore, there's no separate chatot for all of those different violations. And the Gemara says, Amar Blazer, Amar Boshaya, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri b'sumkus amru davar echad. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Sumkus said the same thing. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had Amran. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in our Mishnah says there are three violations for mother-in-law, mother of mother-in-law, and mother of father-in-law. Sumkus mahi, what's the case of Sumkus? It's none. We have a Mishnah. Shachata ve'bat bita. This is a case of Oto ve'epino. He shechted the daughter, and he shechted the grandmother. There's no violation in that. You have to be a direct relationship to be Oto ve'epino. If you shecht a mother and daughter, or you shecht a mother and her mother, those are violations. But if you shecht a grandmother with the granddaughter, that's not a problem. So then, afterwards, shechad et bita. He shechts the middle generation. So he had shechted the grandmother already and shechted the granddaughter. Then he shechts the mother, who's the in-between generation. In that case, he is now in violation of Oto ve'epino in both directions. Down, because he had already shechted the daughter of the one he's shechting now. And also up, because he already shechted the mother of the one that he's shechting now. Because he had shechted the grandmother and granddaughter. He shechts the mother. He has now two violations. The Gemara says over there, the Tanakama, Sofeget Arba, get Malkot for a violation of Oto ve'epino. Sumkos Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, Sofeg Shmonim, you get 80, because there are two violations. One violation for the daughter vis-a-vis the grandmother, and one violation of the daughter vis-a-vis the granddaughter. So there are two violations. The Chachamim clearly disagree and say that it's all Oto ve'epino. So yes, there are two different violations, but nevertheless, it's all the same Easter of Oto ve'epino, therefore you only get one set of Malkot. Amar Rava, Dilma Lohi, who says they have to be saying the same thing? Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Hacha. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's position over here is Ela Mishum Shemot Mechulakim. That these are all different violations in name. This woman carries with her three different names. She is his mother-in-law, she is the mother of his mother-in-law, and she is the mother of his father-in-law. Those are three different names. Demikrei chamuto, mikrei em chamuto, mikrei em chamim. Aval gabei oto ve'ebino, dekulu oto ve'ebino, mikaryan. Over here, when you shecht the daughter, vis-a-vis the grandmother, and vis-a-vis the granddaughter, the violation is still the same violation called oto ve'ebino. Maybe over there, they ain't shemot mechulakim lo. Maybe he wouldn't agree with Sumchus's position. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, demar kamo kamar Sumchus. Maybe Sumchus doesn't have to agree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Because maybe Sumchus over there only says it, Ella gabi oto ve'ebino, dugufi mechulakim. Because over there you have separate violations. Now the truth is, when you shech the daughter, it's only one goof. But the two violations of oto ve'ebino involve two separate animals, the grandmother and the granddaughter. So when you check that, you have two violations because they're actually two separate entities that have oto ve'ebino associated with them. Of a hoka, in our case over here, ain't gufi mechulakim. Milka, that one woman, has all three of these statuses associated with her. She is mother-in-law, mother of mother-in-law, mother and father-in-law, but it's all one woman that has that status. There's no separate entities over here. Eimak Rabbi Boam Rabbi Yochanan Sfirle. Maybe he holds like Rabbi Boam, name of Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Rabbi Boam Rabbi Yochanan. Shareina zimahi. Also, it says, "Armati shabita lo tegale bat bina vebat bita lo tikach lagalo derata shareina zimahi." So, over here, including this isha bita, that's a mother-in-law. Bat bina, that's a case of a mother of a father-in-law. Vebat bita is a case of a mother of a mother-in-law. So, they're all included in that same pasuk, and it says about them shareina zimahi, and so therefore they're all subsumed under that one category or that one title, and therefore you can't separate them out into separate violations, even though they're mentioned separately. Nevertheless, because they're subsumed in this one pasuk and there's only one lav associated with them, therefore that means if you have multiple violations within this pasuk with a single woman, it's only going to be considered or classified as one violation of zima. And therefore we aggregate mother-in-law, mother of mother-in-law, mother and father-in-law, because they're all found in that same pasuk. And that aggregates them into a single violation. Since there's only one goof for one woman that carries all the violations, maybe Sumchus would agree with the position of the Chachamim in our Mishnah, Neged Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But by Oto ve'ebino, where it's just the same name in violation, but it's two different entities that have the association, the grandmother and the granddaughter, maybe you're there, you'll say you have two sets of Malkoth. So we find here the Gemara rejecting this idea of Rabbi Elazar of Roshaya, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri of our Mishnah and Sumchus of the Mishnah in Oto ve'ebino, are of the same opinion, because we could differentiate between them and say that they hold or whatever they say here, but they disagree with the other party because it's not exactly parallel. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of 10 Vav Amud Aleph.